Here we go. Here we go. So, we start with our excellent story. Excellent story is as follows. Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, the Rosh Yeshiva of Eitz Chaim Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva of Slutsk, the father-in-law of... anybody? Rabbi Aaron Cutler. Rabbi Aaron Cutler's father-in-law. Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer. He goes and he calls in his niece. Yeah? You think only Hasidim intermarry and everyone's related to everyone? He calls in his niece, Rebetzin Shach. Rabbi Lazar Menachem Man Shach, Roshiva Aponovich, Gadol Ador. So his uncle was Rabbi Yisrael Zalman. And this means his cousin was Rabbi Aaron Cutler. Yeah? And we're all connected. So he calls in his niece, Rebetzin Shach, and he says, Gutel. Yeah? Not Gittel. Gutel. I need to tell you something. We come from very, very chashuv stock. Our Zayde, and he starts writing out generation by generation, one by one. This is the handwriting, the picture. When he goes, this is a two-volume biography on Rabbi Yisrael Zalman, Bederech Eitz HaChaim. And he goes and he spells out father to son, all the way back to the Panim Iris. The Panim Iris, Rabbi Meir Ashkenazi, Rabbi Meir of Eisenstadt, who's also known as the Maram Eish, Eisenstadt, right? Eisenstadt. And he dies the next morning. That's just for kicks. Yeah. He dies the next morning. And this was the last conversation they had together. So that doesn't really shape who the Maram Ash and who the Remeir Ashkenazi, the Panim Iris, was. But it definitely, it gives us a simple just, you know, this is not something to be. This was the thrust of his thing. We come from the Panim Iris and you have to know. So let's go. Who was the Panim Iris? Who was he? The Panim Iris was Reb Meir Ashkenazi. Reb Meir Ashkenazi was born, let's see, do we have, who's our year, guys? Yeah? Reb Meir Ashkenazi was born, let's find this over here, what year? Reb Meir Ashkenazi, okay. Ah. There's the Kingdom, Shah Prime, Basilo. Okay, it's not here right now. I'm not going to find it right now. Okay, I believe he was born in the year. Should be right here. Sorry about this. And Mayor Eisenstadt. Okay. He was born in the city of Prostitz. Prostitz is right next door to, not so far away from Preshburg. Preshburg is in Oberland. It's part of Hungary. Now, his family came from Germany, hence the name Ashkenazi. And he was born in the year Tuf Lamed. Okay, I'll bail you out. You ready? 1240 and Tuf Lamed. 1240, Tuf Lamed is 1216-70. Yeah? Tuf Lamed is 430. 430 and 1240 is 1670. So he's born in 1670. Where does that put him? That puts him not long after the Shach, not long after the Mogen Avram, who we learned about. And he's one of an earlier Achron, relative to who we've been speaking about. So he's born in the city of Prostitz, and he was a Talmud of the Mogen Avram and Rav David Oppenheim. Mogen Avram was Rav Avram Abeli Gumbiner. We've spoken about him in the past. And He was the Rav in Gumbin, the Rav in, he was born in Gumbin, the Rav in Kalish, Kalish. And Rav David Oppenheim was the Rav and Roshiva in Prague. Okay? Who were his Talmidim? Rav Yonis and Eibshitz. One of his Talmidim was Rav Yonis and Eibshitz. Now, it's interesting to note that the a certain Sefer, we're going to get to it, certain Sefer refers to Rav Yonis and Eibshitz as a Talmid Chaver, a counterpart, but most Sfarim quote that Rav Yonis and Eibshitz was a Talmid of Maram Ash, the Remeir of Eisenstadt, because he quotes him in Yaris Tavash, he quotes him in his Rashas as Moiri V'Rabi. So, again, that could have been just accolades given towards a chash of a person, or it could have been actually he was a proper Talmud. Most assume who was older than him. So, there are Rabbanim who consider themselves equals with older Rabbanim. Not in a gaiva way, but in a, they were counterparts. So it's not necessarily a knockout or a convincing argument to say that he definitely was a... So, he was living in Hungary, yeah? He grew up most of his life in Hungary and had a yeshiva in Hungary. Now, he also was a Rav in Sachachov. Sachachov ended up becoming Hasidish. Sachachov is of Sachachov fame. That's the Avni Nezer. Avni Nezer, but that was 150 years later. Yeah, this is well before Hasidus. Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem was not born in 1670. So, he was a Rav in Sachachov, and he moved to Prostitz and went to Eibshitz, all cities we've heard of, and he was a Roshiva, and that's where Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz came to learn by him. Amazing. Now, there's a famous story with the Shach. The Shach went, and this is a Marcus Lehmann story. Anyone ever heard of Marcus Lehmann? A writer? Marcus Lehmann was a Rav in Germany who ended up writing many, many books. They were serial slash fiction based on, I don't know how they turn, there's a fancy name for based on a real story but fictitious. What do they call it in novel form?
Historical fiction.
Historical fiction. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Historical fiction. It has a backdrop that it's mimicking, but it's injected with a lot of... So, one of the famous stories is The Lost Princess. Anyone? Okay. I learned this myself just a couple of years ago. Marcus Lehmann wrote storybooks because he felt that the masses were getting fed their entertainment from non-wholesome sources. So he saw, as he was a Rav in Germany, he decided he's going to pen Yiddish storybooks. And he did, and he based them on Chazal, he based them on other stories. One of the famous stories that he writes is about the Shach and his sister or niece. Yeah, sister or niece, not sure who it was, but they were separated. Most stories say it was a sister. It was the time of Tach V'Tat, 1648, 1649, and they were separated on the run, and what ended up happening was that the Shach ended up surviving and being put up by a wealthy person's house who was hosting the Shach. And the Shah, this wealthy person ended up getting a refugee woman who needed a job, hired her to scrub the floors. And she was scrubbing the floors and listening to the learning of the Shach. And he sat there and he sang with his niggun, whatever his niggun and learning with, Amar Abaye, Amar. And he was just sitting and learning, and she was so taken by it. And she approached the Shach and said, I had a brother who used to learn just like this. We said the story here in the past. And the Shach says, what was his name? She says, his name was Shapsi. Shapsi. My name's Shapsi. What was your father's name? Mayor. Mayor? My father's mayor. And they look at each other, and it's a reunion. It was his sister, and they were reunited. And this is where the story gets, interesting. The Balabas goes and hears that his maidservant is the sister of the Shach. And he was recently widowed, and he asks the Shach, may I marry your sister? And they get married. They had a son, Meir. Meir, after Rameyer Rappaport, Rameyer, the father of the Shach. This was Rameyer, the Baal Panamiris, the person we're speaking about tonight. So it's funny because if you put the story in perspective and then you look around, the Chidah, we always quote the Chidah, Shema Gedolim. He goes and he speaks about the Panamiris. Who was the Panamiris? He was Rameyer Ashkenazi. So he says over here, Meir Ashkenazi, watch this. Meir Ashkenazi, Neched Achois Harav Shach. Okay? What does that mean? It was a niece. Because if it was a sister, he would be the nephew. If he's a grandson of the sister of the Shach, if he is a grandson of the Shach's sister, that means the woman in the story could not have been the Shach's sister. That means the woman in the story must have been the Shach's niece, who then had a child, who would be effectively the grandson of the Shach's sister. We're all together? Not yet. So, fascinating piece of history. So now, where else do we glean bits and pieces from the Panamiris' life? The Panamiris, the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer was about 150 years later in the very region where the Panamiris had a Rabbanus, was born, grew up, and lived. And he goes and he writes that one of the big takanas that he made when he was a Rav was that every get that's written has to have a form of identification via a river. That's how we know where the city is. Now, the story took place in the city where the Panamiris was the Rav. There was no, it was totally inland, and there was no river anywhere. So the question was, how should we spell, it was in the Prostwitz, how should we go and spell the name, and we don't have any way to identify it by any river. So any person who now wants to come and write a tshuva as to how we should go and spell West Hempstead, or how we should go and spell Queens, or how we should go and spell any of them, so in halacha there's a precedent to go and to say Queens, which is near this and this river. I don't know which river they would use, or check your local get if you can find one and see how they go and identify it. So he got to the city and they were not writing Gittin properly. Why? Because they didn't know how to. And he went and made a takana that we have to figure this out. And he said, I think it should be written like this based on my knowledge, even though there's no neighboring river, this is the way it should be, but I will never paskin unless two Gedolei Adar sign with me. And he sent it out to two Gedolei Adar. They were maskin. And they started writing kosher Gittin in his city. And it was considered to be a very big savior for the city because now they had the ability to go and write Gittin the kashrus. Now, this was one of his claim to fame. He fixed this sore spot for the city. The Chassam Sofer, where does it have to do with the Chassam Sofer? Chassam Sofer was lamenting that Rabbanim in his time went and, as they wrote a get, they just decided, this is how we're going to write the city's name. It could actually passel a get if the facts are not written properly. The Chassam Sofer was lamenting. Go. Go, 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 I'm here. Thank you very much. Fair. So what the doctor is bringing up is as follows. What the doctor is bringing up is as follows, that in halacha we find there's a lot of weight given. We don't go and just say everything prior was puzzle. Shaloi lahoitzi laz ala rishonim. We don't go and just say, ach, fech, this mikvah, it's been puzzled for years. 200 years it's been puzzled. How many people have been using this? And we're going to go and just with one fell swoop, we're going to go and mach everything avek. How could you go and do that? That wasn't the case, I believe. They didn't write Gittin in the city. They outsourced it, if I recall correctly. What? I can have a get written wherever the get is written. They can be in the Beis Din and at that city can be misadder it for me. No. The get was written in the city. No. No, you have to write every single nickname. But now where they're from. You bet. But they were not able to write any Gittin in this town. What he accomplished was, he made the extension and that enabled them to write Gittin in this town, which is a tremendous service to the community. Chassam Sofer was lamenting, you know, it's so chaval that you have such Rabbanim nowadays that make up spelling when the Panim Meiris himself was not even willing to take responsibility. And he went and said, I'll only go and weigh in on such a heavy matter if two Rabbanim, the Gedolei Ador, will sign with me. And now we have people flippantly just going and making up spelling for cities. But you see, what? I don't know. I believe so. I don't know for sure, so I don't want to take a side. One last piece of a cool fact. Give me a second. This is the last piece of show and tell for the day. This usually it's a four-volume set in green. It's the Makar Baruch. When we learn about Valojin, if anyone's read the Art Scroll book, My Uncle the Netziv? Anybody? It's banned in certain circles. Yes. So this is the book that is essentially banned because it's a translation of this book. Right? He goes and he walks you through so much history. He was the son of the Torah Tamima, who was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, the nephew of the Netziv. So his father was the Aruch HaShulchan, his uncle was the Reshiva of Valojin. Okay? His name was Berlin. His mother's name was Berlin. Yeah? Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, right? The Netziv. His cousin was Chaim Berlin. Yeah? We're all together on this? Mayor Bar Ilan. Mayor Bar Ilan, of course, because he was the youngest son. But Chaim Berlin could have been his father, right? Was old enough to be his father, and the Netziv married his niece, the Aruch HaShulchan's daughter. Mayor's mother, yeah. The second marriage, yeah. That's when we learn about... At least. Yeah, I thought it was like 50. But, okay, I'll take your word for it. He walks you through, we're not going to have time now, we have to stop here. He walks you through... He goes through that the name Epstein comes from, we mentioned this when we had an Epstein here one time, it comes from the Benvenistes. The Knesset HaGadol of Benvenisti, we came from Spain to Europe, and we're really Sephardi. Reb Zerachi Alevi, we're Levim, Reb Epstein Alevi, the Aruch HaShulchan was Alevi, and he says, on my mother's side, they were Einiklach of the Panim Meiris. And he walks you through the godless and the whole Yichus of the Panim Meiris. We're not going to have time to go through it now, but at least Mar Makam Hulachem, look in Chelik Beis, Perek, the beginning of Perek Des, where he walks you through, and this is part of our godless, what we have. Not that we're any better that we have the Yichus, but we have what to live up to. So we should all be Zeuche. Two, follow in the ways of the Panim Meiris in his godless, Patoiro, and be able to maximize our potential.